Praise God. I've got a scripture I want to read tonight. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And it's good to see all of you here tonight. Amen. They're saying it's going to be another storm next weekend. I hope you'll just pray that the Lord binds that. Praise God. If it's going to snow, let's just have it on Monday. That way nobody has to go to work. Amen. Well, praise God. He said, ask and you shall receive. So we need to ask. Amen. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Praise God. And what he's really talking about, if you read the whole chapter of chapter 13, verse 9, and the rest of the chapter as well, it's not a very pretty picture that the Lord paints through this prophet. And he said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And then the scripture that we read tonight, verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. In the midst of a world that is reeling and rocking in wickedness, arrogancy, haughtiness, sin, transgressions, there is going to be some people that God will make pure and clean and holy and valuable. Amen. Like the pure golden wedge of Ophir. And I want to preach just a little bit here tonight. I have more scriptures than I have anything else. And so it may be a little bit different here tonight in that I'm going to use some scripture, more scripture than normal. But I want to talk about strength through conflict. Strength through conflict. Praise God. We've got to be able to see things the way they really are. We cannot feel our way to heaven. We've got to have a confidence, an understanding of the will and the working of God in our lives. Amen. Otherwise, we're going to be thrown off by the conflicts of this world, the troubles of this world. Amen. And you just mark it down tonight. The Word of God says it, and it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Let's pray together, and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of truth. We thank you for the anointing tonight. I pray for your anointed Word to find its mark in every heart here tonight. And in the name of Jesus, give us victory and liberty by the word of God. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will help the pastor tonight, you may be seated. Amen. All right. Praise God. Everybody's being seated. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. You know, throughout history and throughout the pages of the word of God, in the midst of troubles, you're always going to find a righteous man or a woman that will stand up and go against the tide of the day. Amen. And God has a way. I don't understand his ways. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you that I understand everything about God, but I believe that I understand that God has a way of bringing about his purposes through adversity and conflict. Amen. And this is certainly not something that we want to talk about a lot. None of us like to talk about troubles. None of us like to talk about conflict and adversity and all of those things. Amen. But what we need to do is find that place of trust in the Lord, and to find the excitement and the comfort, amen, that the Holy Ghost will bring to us no matter what's taking place in your life. Praise God. I just had some thoughts that came to me, and I'm not going to preach on David here tonight, but David faced an awful lot of conflicts, and you want to talk about a strong man in the Word of God, it was David. He could run through a troop, leap over a wall. He could go against thousands and defeat them. Amen. He was a warrior of warriors. He was a leader of leaders. And David had some conflicts in his life. He had family conflicts. He had, if you want to say it this way, he had church conflicts where he was in the temple and Saul tried to kill him. He had conflicts with those that were outside of the realm of Israel, but there was something about that man David that I want to have in my heart, and that is a spirit that just will not give up. Amen. Well, praise God. I don't know what it is to give up. Amen. I know what it is to change courses, but that's not the same as giving up. Amen. I may have to change my strategy a little bit. I may have to fight a different fight, and certainly those things will come. But what we've got to have deep, deep in our heart tonight, every young person that's here tonight, need to have it deep, deep in your heart. Amen. I love God, and I'm not giving up on God no matter what. And strength, your strength is going to come through conflict. I really hesitate to mention my grandson, but he's just the joy of my life right now. Amen. And I just love that little guy almost as much as his mother does. Amen. And she's just fallen in love with that little boy. But there's some things that I noticed here. I've seen them before. But you notice them again when a little one comes into your life. And all of a sudden, you know, they're playing along and everything's going really great. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're kicking, and all of that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, there's a little furrow in their brow. And it's just a little, it's not much, but you can tell something's about to happen. Amen. And all of a sudden, there's a little whimper. And then all of a sudden, there's a bowed back, and there's a struggle, and there's a wrestling match that takes place. And it can happen within a few minutes. Amen. And when I saw that struggle and that conflict, I said, oh, little man, you're starting to understand what life is all about. Amen. There is a struggle that all of us are going to face. There is a conflict, no matter how small or how big, you will face a conflict in your life. You will face a struggle in your life. Amen. But the struggles are not designed to destroy us. The struggles are designed to make us strong. Praise God. To give us strength so that we can make it all the way through. 1 Peter talked about it in chapter 4, verse 12. And if you want to follow with me, if not, you can write the scriptures down and read them when you get home. But 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Everybody said, "Which is." Which is. We're seeing a lot of trials in our day today. And it's not just with the adults. It makes us reach out in compassion to the little ones. There are many little ones that are facing trials and tribulations in their lives. And they're not really prepared for this. Amen. God did not make little children to go to battle, but he made strong men to go to battle. Praise God. And we go to battle so that we can protect the little ones. Amen. We go to battle so that they don't have to see the horrors of destruction by the enemy. Amen. Mom and Dad, it's time to live for God. Praise the Lord. It's always time to live for God, but there will be trials that will come along, amen, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Now, that doesn't hardly make any sense, does it? It doesn't. I'll just tell you, it doesn't make any sense. Rejoice. Pastor, now really, let's get serious here tonight. My world is turned upside down and I'm supposed to rejoice. I'm supposed to give God praise. Amen. Jesus said it this way in one place. He said, when they persecute you and when they give you all sorts of troubles and tribulations, he said, in that day, leap for joy. I know I'm not connecting right now, but I'm going to keep working on this. Amen. I'm still just lining up the tractor up to that post on the other side, and I'm getting ready to hit the throttle and push the clutch forward and start plowing. Praise God. And we're going to plow a little bit here tonight, see if we can get a crop planted and a harvest out of this. Praise God. And how can I rejoice? The only way that I know that we can rejoice through our difficulties and our troubles is to have an understanding of what they are designed to do in your life. Praise God. God does not tempt anyone. God does not bring evil upon anyone. He is the one that lifts us up out of our troubles. But for some reason, the Lord has allowed Satan, he has allowed the people of this world, the ways of this world, to assault and to bring conflict into the lives of his people. Amen. What we've got to do is understand what it is there for and what it will work in our lives if we will hold on to our confidence. Amen. And it says here, that insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Amen. We're going to rejoice, but that isn't exceeding joy. Amen. The rejoice that we have is the rejoicing in the knowledge of what these trials and tribulations will work out in our lives. Amen. But it is not the fullness of joy. Amen. Joy cometh in the morning. It's not necessarily going to be there in the night. He said, weeping will endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm living for God because of the morning that's coming. Amen. I'm serving God not because I can get something right now out of it. I'm not serving God because it's easy. I'm not serving God because I'm altogether strong enough to do the things I know I need to do, but I'm here and I'm doing the will of God because I know the result of what is going to happen from my labor. Praise God. And he goes on down and he says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Amen. You think you got it bad, just walk in the shoe of the sinner and see where they're headed and what the result of their life is going to be. Amen. I'm not looking to go out and find some sort of happiness in this world. I'm not interested in my blessings right now, but I'm looking forward to the future. Praise God. I'm looking forward, and I know what the troubles are going to do in this life. They are going to give me strength through my conflicts. Well, praise the Lord. Did you know tonight that God has his eye upon his people? Amen. And it's His will that we become what He desires for us. Amen. Namely, to become fine gold. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Praise God. It is God's will to make us as fine gold, more precious than fine gold. And the only way that gold can be refined is it has to go through the fire. Amen. It has to go through the fiery trial in order to be perfected and purified. Amen. I've spent time on this before. I won't spend a lot of time in it. But the fire of the trials tests to see what we are made of. It brings to the surface the real qualities or the lack of qualities that reside within us. Amen. In other words, it brings out the best in us and it brings out the worst in us. Amen. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit here tonight. But in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, the Lord said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. We want to buy that gold that is tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Amen. We've got to buy the truth and sell it not. We've got to buy this golden wedge of gold, no matter what the cost, because it is valuable in the eyes of the Lord. What that simply means is, when the conflicts of life come, it should not cause us to go away, but it should cause us to come near. Amen. It should cause us to say, Lord, let whatever you want come to the surface in my life. And let me see the reality of where I'm at and who I am. And then I can repent of it. Then I can scrape it off the top and throw it away and never let it back into my existence again. Amen. We are changed by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. Amen. And that word change there means change. It means to end up becoming something other than what you were in the beginning. In the beginning, gold is drawn out of the ground, and it has many impurities in it. But after it is purified, those impurities are gone. And in that respect, it's still gold, but it is fine gold. It is precious gold. It is valuable gold. Praise God. Praise God. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. And His plan, I know this is not a shouting message necessarily, but it is a shouting message. Amen. Because the Lord wants to make us into His image. And that's awesome. But God's plan involves some shaking in this world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. If you'll go with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. It says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Praise God, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Oh, we need to say that often. Let us have grace. Amen. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. God is in the business of shaking to see what is on a foundation. There are two foundations. One is the things of this world, the shaking, shifting sand of this world, and there is the rock. But on the rock, you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to spend some energy and some time. You're going to have to get out of that foundation, all of the shifty material, and go down to that which will not move. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say hell would not bother us. He did not say that hell would not bring conflicts against us. But he said it will not prevail against us. For when we are in the hand of the Master, amen, we have confidence. Praise God. When we are in the hand of the Master, we have authority. Praise God. Yes, in the midst of conflict, we have authority. Praise God. But it's the enemy's job to tell you that you are weak when you are going through conflict, when things are not as they should be. Amen. We sing a song about that. I forget which song it is. But we're going to praise you, Lord, when everything is not as it should be. Amen. But I wonder how true that really is. Well, it's true when we're shouting and we're running and jumping and praising God and the music sounds good and the lyrics are good and it excites us and thrills us. But when you walk out the door of the church, tonight I'm looking at the doors of the church and it's dark out there. Amen. We're going to leave the light in here and we're going to go out into the darkness, into the night. Amen. That's a whole different situation than a perfect church service or a perfect time of our life. Amen. But the Bible says that God is going to shake. Amen. God is going to shake every foundation, every life, every attitude, every little thing that is down inside. We can't leave one in there because it will not be fine gold. Amen. It will not be more precious than fine gold because of the little deposits of this, that, and the other. Amen. We're foolish if we think that we can harbor a little attitude in our spirit and go ahead and have the full victory that God wants to have in our lives or wants to work in our lives. Amen. We've got to begin to allow the Lord to shake our lives. And there are many that are here tonight, and you have gone through a shaking in your life. There are some here tonight that are going through a shaking. There are times that the church will go through a shaking. Amen. There are times that you will go through a shaking personally. And don't think it's strange and don't say, why is this happening to me? Amen. The Lord is wanting to make you into something precious. He wants to give strength through your conflict and give you power and authority that you didn't know that you had before. Praise God. He's not just going to shake the earth. The Bible says he's going to shake heaven as well. Amen. Yes, there are attitudes in heaven. And the Lord shook up heaven. And there was one who was in charge. He was given the leadership over the covering area where the presence of the Lord was manifest. He was the worship leader. He was the one that came up with the lyrics. He was the one that developed the music. Oh, I would have loved to have heard the singing and the music of Satan in heaven. Amen. Or Lucifer, as he was called. There was a time of glory. There was a time of victory. There was a time where all of the angels, all of the millions of angels worshiped with a mighty chorus. Amen. And they rejoiced when the Lord began to create all things. They shouted for joy. But there was something that took place. The Bible says, thou wast perfect until iniquity was found in you. There was a little something that got down into the material that Satan was made of. Amen. And rebellion began to grow up in his heart. And the Lord began to shake heaven. And when he shook heaven, one third of the church in heaven was gone. I can only imagine what went on in heaven after that took place. Amen. There was no more shouting for a while. But I'm telling you what, the angels are smart enough to know. I want to have the wisdom and knowledge of Michael and Gabriel. Amen. And any of the other leaders of the angels. I can hear them say, just hang in there, guys. Everything's going to be all right. The Lord's still in his place. Nothing has changed as far as God is concerned. Amen. They are headed to a place that they don't want to go. And they're not going to realize their goals of becoming like God. They're just not going to get there. And we are in a generation today. Dear God, help us. Amen. We are in an entertainment crazy world. We are in a music crazy world. Amen. And billions, literally billions of dollars are spent on play games. Now they've got play games where they've got people that are just spectators. And those that play it, others just pay to watch them play on the internet. They play their games for hours and hours and hours, some all day long, for something that is not going to produce anything in their lives. Amen. I hope that the young people here will listen to the old gray hoary head. Amen. Go and learn what that means. Praise God. But there is wisdom. Amen. There is wisdom in the Word of God. There is wisdom in the will of God. Amen. It's not the will of God that our young people get sidetracked. Amen. Young people, it's not the will of God that you get sidetracked by anything. Amen. The will of God is more important than anything else in all of this world. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, adults. Help the pastor tonight. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Because there's going to be a shaking. There is a shaking of the moral foundation of our world. Amen. Life is no more precious. It is not precious anymore. And now we have, in some places, the ability to kill a baby after it is born in the womb. Amen. I'm telling you, we are now facing the onslaught of death. Amen. Where people are more excited about death than they are about life. But I'm more excited about life than anything else. Praise God. Because Jesus said, I have come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. Praise God. He has life for us in the midst of a world. Amen. Amidst of a communist world. I just looked on the internet. I don't want to get negative here tonight at all. But the world is shaking around us, and we may not even realize it. In the last 100 years, I saw this figure on the internet. The communist governments, they lumped them all together. And in the last 100 years, 110 million people have died under communist regimes. And I won't go into the details of how, but there are literally millions, tens and hundreds of millions of people that have perished. The morality of our world in the last century has taken a steep nosedive. And we are looking at a liberal way of thinking that is supposedly inclusive and inclusive of every lifestyle that anybody can come up with. But I'm telling you tonight, there's only one way, and it is the way of the Lord. And you can tell anybody you want to that the pastor said it. There are things that are wrong, and there are things that are right. And why we're here tonight is because we want to find out what is right so that we can do what is right. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We're seeking after the right way. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. Amen. Maybe I'm just preaching to the young people here tonight. Y'all don't mind if I preach to you. I've asked them that before, and they said, yeah, we like it. Go ahead and preach. All right. You just opened up the door. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we've got a world that's trying to draw all of the young people into this new idea. Amen. This new idea, now they've got a new idea, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be wonderful, and there's going to be utopia. The only problem is none of us can drive a car anymore. There's not going to be any more airplanes. In another 10 years, they want to eliminate completely the petroleum industry in America. And this is a brand new deal. Well, I'll tell you what it is. I don't want that deal. Amen. That's like selling me an old junker for $5 million and telling me it's a great deal. Amen. It's just not going to work. But many, many are caught up into this brand new way. And the reason they're caught up into it, let me just digress just for a minute here tonight. I told you I'm not going to go long, and I'm going to strive to do that. But the reason that we have the drug problems that we have today, the reason that we have the immorality problems that we have today, is because we have left the Word of God as a society. Amen. We have left the foundation upon which the Lord wants to build us up upon. Amen. We have a generation that doesn't want conflict. We have a generation, I remember back in the 60s, they said, I would rather be red than dead. Amen. In other words, saying, go ahead and let the communists come and take over. We don't want conflict. We don't want war. But you know what? When you gave your life to God, you enlisted in an army that's going to fight all the way until the end. Amen. That's the truth tonight. He said in Matthew 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then, then shall the end come. And so right before the end of the world, maybe this is a little bit of prophecy here tonight, but right before the end of the world, when destruction comes upon our world and the wrath of God is poured out upon our world, there's going to be an on-fire church. There's going to be an outreach church. There's going to be a church that loves the message. Come on, somebody. Praise God. There's going to be a church that loves the Lord no matter what. There's going to be a church that says, I know there's going to be conflict, but I can make it through this conflict. There's going to be a people that says, it's not about me, it's about the work of God. Well, praise the Lord. There's going to be people that say, we've got to build up the church and not tear the church down. Amen. There's going to be people that when they come into the house of God, they come with their spiritual hands lifted and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. There's going to be a people that have their nose in the good book. Amen. And are thrilled by the Word of God on a regular basis. Amen. Oh, not me. I'm looking at the news every day. Just go ahead and look at the news all day long. You're going to be one depressed individual, and you're going to think that there is no hope. But I'll tell you what, I've got another newspaper here tonight, and it's good news. Praise God. It's good news. Yes, there's going to be conflicts, but the Lord will not lay upon me any more than what I can bear. He will not lay upon a church more than it can bear. Amen. He will not lay upon a family more than they can bear. Praise God, because He wants to bring strength through conflict. Amen. Strength through conflict. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the middle of a troubled world, the church is going to have one thing in mind, doing the will of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Everybody said, humble yourself. Maybe you should say, humble myself. Humble myself. Heard somebody pray one time, oh God, humble me. No, I don't want to pray that. I want to pray, Lord, your will be done in my life. I just want to humble myself. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise God. There is an end result of the conflicts. The conflicts are not going to last forever. Amen. That's the devil's job. I just want to minister on this just a little bit tonight. Amen. It is the devil's job. It is the enemy of your soul that will come along and tell you there is no other answer for you. There is no way out of this situation for you. And that spirit will bring hopelessness. That spirit will bring depression. That spirit will bring a spirit of fear with it. Amen. Where you feel like nothing's going to help. It doesn't matter how much I pray. It doesn't matter how many times I go to church. It doesn't matter what the pastor preaches. When I walk out the door of the church, it's going to be the same. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I'll tell you what we need. We need people that have faith in God, faith in the Word of God, and understand this. I may not be able to see a door. I may not be able to see a way out of my situation, but it is not by power, it is not by might, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And God can make a door in a moment's time where there is no door. I've seen it so many, many times. And we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, praise the Lord. Trying to preach a message of encouragement to someone here tonight. And a message of hope for us here tonight. Praise God. We are the winners. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. Amen. Amen. Humble yourselves. And so sometimes we seem, well, God help us here tonight. Conflicts makes you stronger. Praise God. I'm going to be real strong by the time this is over here tonight. Problems and troubles, amen, should cause us to humble ourselves. But oftentimes, the conflicts of life bring bitterness to our spirit. Oftentimes, the conflicts of life bring weakness to ourself, to our spirit. Amen. That's why the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, because you can get weary in well-doing. Praise God. When you do well, it seems like that there are many conflicts that come your way. When you try your best, it seems like many times you end up in failure. I know myself personally as a pastor, there are many times that that spirit will come and that spirit will say, you're not making a difference. Amen. That spirit will come along and say, nobody heard what you said tonight. It'll come along and speak to your spirit and speak to your heart, and it'll always usually happen on Monday morning. Amen. When it's time to go out. But you know what I've designated Mondays for? That's my rat-killing day. Amen. You say, I've told folks, they ask me, how's it going today? I said, oh, it's just my rat-killing day. And they stop and look at me, what are you talking about? I said, oh, all them little things that I've got to get done today, I'm going to get them out of the way. Amen. It's my rat-killing day. Praise God. And one of the things I've got to pray through on a Monday, on a Thursday, praise God, what I've got to pray through is my spirit and my attitude. Amen. We've got to rejoice that we have done the will of God. We have to come to the understanding, the strength of maturity. Amen. That says, I have done the will of God. And now I'm just waiting for the reward to come along. Praise God. And it will come along. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, for the time is come. Everybody said, the time is come. Time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end, or what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, praise the Lord. Why did he call Abraham to sacrifice the very thing that embodied his promise? You see what I'm preaching tonight? Amen. You catching the message here tonight? Amen. The Lord wants to know, do you fear him? The Lord wants to know and wants to build up your strength. Abraham, give me the very thing that embodies your promise, the very thing that you've been hoping and putting your trust and confidence in. Amen. The very thing that you have put your time and energy and finances and prayers and all of that, those things that you have invested into the call of God in your life. Amen. And all of a sudden, the word comes, and you're in the middle of a conflict, an internal conflict. Don't tell me that Abraham did it cold-heartedly. There was a stirring of his spirit. Amen. I could not imagine. I've thought about this, and I really questioned, and I really came to an answer. I'm not sure I could do what Abraham did. I'm not sure that I could. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Amen. To take your only son and to do what God asked him to do with his only son, and he actually did it. Amen. I don't believe that the Lord physically wants us to do that, but there are some of us that have had to put our children on the altar. Amen. And that's not a shouting message tonight. That is a place of weeping. Amen. Because none of us want our children to do bad. Amen. We want them to do well, right? But sometimes we have to put them on the altar and we have to give them to God. Amen. The Lord really wanted the whole relationship of Abraham to be based not upon a promise, amen, but on him as the Lord of all. What's your hope in tonight? Well, I've been praying for a new car, and it hasn't come yet, so I'm getting discouraged. I remember one time there was a lady that we were ministering to on the East Coast, and she was having difficulties in a relationship, and she had to go to court over the situation, and she wanted the judge to rule in her favor. And she said, I prayed a little bit, and I even fasted one day so the Lord would give me what I want. And she went to court, and when it was over with, the judge ruled against her. And she took her fist and she went like this to God. Well, I want to tell you today, that's not the foundation that I'm preaching about here tonight. We need to have a strong foundation, and that strength will come through conflict. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, and I've just got a couple more scriptures, so you just hang in there, all right? And then we'll let you go out into the darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us. Everybody said, he has not appointed me to wrath. To wrath. God did not save you to bring his wrath upon you, but to obtain salvation. Amen. Thank God for salvation today. It is the embodiment of God's love toward us. Amen. It is the beauty of the Lord manifested in this world for his people. And so the end destination is streets of gold and gates of pearl. But before we get there, Revelation 7 and 14, And I said unto him, there was a multitude here, just to so you'll understand the scripture, there was a multitude out there. And the angel asked John, who are these? And I said unto him, verse 14, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. They gained strength through their conflict, not through tribulation, but great tribulation. The kind of tribulation that shakes you to the core of your existence. The kind of tribulation that you really don't know how it's all going to end up. Amen. The kind of tribulation in which it looks hopeless for you, and there will not be an answer, and there will not be victory in your life. But he said, these are they. Where were they? They were in heaven, and they were robed in white. I'm telling you, in the midst of conflict, there will always be a righteous man and a righteous woman that will stand up and live for God. There will be a Daniel, amen, who will make his way to the lion's den. There will always be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, we are not careful to answer you, for our God is able tonight, but if he chooses not to deliver me, we're willing to go into the fire, amen, because we love him for who he is. Shake us all you want, but nothing's going to come out of us. When you're done shaking, we're still going to remain the same. Revelation 14 and 4, he saw a multitude here. And it says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to preach like this every service, but I just felt it in my heart tonight that we can gain strength through conflict. The reason we have empty pews tonight is because the Lord wants to fill these pews. And if you've been praying and you've lost your faith in revival, I'm here to encourage you here tonight that God still has revival for his church. Amen. The gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations. Amen. I'm ready to reach out and to touch someone with the gospel. That's been my whole life with the Lord, is just reaching out and touching people. You've heard me say it many times, I'm just a sower. But let me ask you tonight, what are you? Who are you? What is your place in the kingdom of God? Well, I'm supposed to teach Sunday school. Well, praise God for that. Be the very best that you can be. And get as many people to come as possible. Praise God. And fill up your class to overflowing. Well, praise the Lord. It's not good enough, our foreign no more. Amen. We've got to go out and we've got to break through the barrier. Amen. And not live in that idea that there's only going to be a small handful that we're going to minister to. But I believe that God is able to do anything. And if he chooses not to do it, amen, I'm going to go down swinging. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. The book of Hebrews is awesome. And it's speaking here of some things. And it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I believe that's in the book of Psalms. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that in he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Who's that talking about? It's talking about you and I. It's talking about man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. We're a little lower than the angels. That's why when angels appear, in some cases they look like people. But we are made a little lower. Amen. And crowned us. Did you know you're crowned with glory and honor? What an honor it is to be alive. What an honor it is, amen, to be able to go through life and walk and talk and think and breathe and experience joy and love and all the things that we do. Oh, God, help us. Let us not become haughty. Let us not begin to think that we're so great, but we have been given glory and honor. Amen. And set him over the works of thy hands and put all things in subjection under his feet. Praise God. That's not in the present all the time, but that's in the future as well. And he clarifies this. Amen. He really does. He clarifies this. He said he's put all things under his feet. I listened to a preacher, not an apostolic preacher, one of these other kind. And actually it was his wife. And his wife said, we have authority. We have rulership. We have victory. And we have power over the weather. Did you know that? We have power over the weather. Amen. And I thought, well, where were they when the Hurricane Katrina hit? Amen. Some weather bureau needs to hire that person. Amen. Others, you know, there's a new movement nowadays, and I've just heard about it. I haven't looked into it all the way. But it's this new movement where all of a sudden during the service, white feathers come out of the vents. And everybody's told those are angels' feathers. And everybody goes, ooh and ah. And all kinds of things take place. I remember a few years ago, it was a setup. It really was a setup. And they had a polyurethane pulpit, one of those clear pulpits. And they had it set up where the whole pulpit would break in two and fall apart. And there was a loud explosion sound, and the whole pulpit broke apart, and it produced a revival in their church. You know what I'm looking for? I'm not looking to see all of those things. I'm not going through every day looking under every crevice for some strange thing to happen. But you know what I want to see in my life? More than anything, he said, we have authority, we have honor, we have glory. Everything is put in subjection under our feet. But then he said, but now we see not yet all things put under him. It's there, but it's not there yet. Did you know that you and I are going to judge angels? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. Know you not that you will judge angels? Did you know that in the Scriptures it says, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many cities? Did you know the day is coming when we will be heirs with Christ? Who, me? Yeah, you. Praise the Lord. You mean all of us with our faults and our failures and all of that? Yes. Do you know who the Lord's looking for? He's looking for somebody that's looking for the right thing. And he said, we don't see now. There's some things we don't see. But in verse 9, he said, but we see Jesus, who also was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him who, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Now listen to this. to make the captain of their salvation, that's Jesus, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Conflict, discouragements, setbacks, you name it. Put any category you want into it, but we are purified. It is the will of God to purify His people. It is the will of God to lift His people up in strength. Somebody said one time, the only way to hurt your body is to not use it. Just sit in a chair for 3 days and don't move your body. You will become weak. You will literally lose muscle mass. Did you know that? But it's for those that push, those that pull, those that jump. I can't jump as high as I used to, but I can jump. Praise the Lord. See that? I can exercise a little bit. I can do some things. I'm not going to just lay around and wait for my ship to come in. No, no, that's not what life is all about. But life is all about strength in our body through conflict. Pulling on that weight. Pushing on that wall. Running a little bit. Moving forward. Oh, it's hard. It's difficult. But you don't realize that the other alternative is a wheelchair somewhere. The other alternative is just to have no strength whatsoever and not be able to do anything. Amen. Well, that sounds good, right? All you'd have to do is rest all the time. But you know what? For this person right here, that would be the most depressing thing that I would ever have to go through in my life, is to just have to lay there and not be able to do anything. Let me have some room. It may not be a very big room, but let me have some room. Give me something to do. I'm going to push. I'm going to continue to push. God's looking for people that will push all the way to the last breath. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. Amen. I'm not going to do it because I have strength through conflict. Let's stand together tonight, can we? Praise the Lord. I'm very confident that we're the only church having church tonight in a large area of this area. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I'm glad I'm here. Praise God. I don't want to pastor a marshmallow church. Praise the Lord. I appreciate all of you that do whatever it is that you do. Amen. Last couple of weeks, I went over to the nursing home and taught Bible study. Yesterday, I was there at 10 o'clock in the morning teaching Bible study. And you know, I felt the presence of the Lord in that Bible study. I did. I felt it. But I appreciate Doug and Rapity taking that ministry on. They've got a real burden for that. And it's not always easy. You got to push them to the Bible study. You got to help them with their walker to the Bible study. And some would say, well, that's a waste of time. You're not going to reach them, so on and so forth. Well, what's the other alternative? Well, we'll just sit at home on Saturday morning and drink some hot chocolate. And while we're drinking our hot chocolate, we'll say, Lord, save the world, please. Lord, give us revival, please. Lord, let us have an exciting church, please. Then after a while, you get the idea, well, God doesn't answer prayer. No, God answers prayer. Amen. Opportunity arrives two or three times in everybody's life. My opportunity was the gospel. But opportunities are mainly missed because they are disguised in coveralls and tools and labor. They have a disguise that they wear. Praise God. If you want to be blessed in life, get your coveralls on. Get busy. Start learning. Go to school. Get an education. Be the best that you can be at what you feel God wants you to do. Well, it's hard. Whoever said it was going to be easy? Amen. You're never going to enjoy what you have until you put the time in to get what you have. Praise the Lord. Do you love Him tonight? I love Him tonight. Let's talk to Him right now.